right, hello and special welcome to those few folks who are listening to this show on the Friday after Thanksgiving. It's the DFS Collaboration Podcast. I'm Matt Harmon from Yahoo here. That's TJ Hernandez from 4for4. TJ, I'd love to ask you how your Thanksgiving went, but I'm assuming tomorrow, because we're recording this on Wednesday, spoiler alert, I'm assuming it went incredibly well.
Yeah, it was great. We won a bunch of money playing DFS. The Lions had a great game, and it went exactly as planned.
Oh, beautiful. And we're all about 5 to 10 pounds heavier. So great work by everybody out there. But as awesome as the Thursday slate definitely was, with the Lions and the Saints preseason roster treating us very well, we got some more important things to talk about. We got a whole not as big slate as we're used to coming up here this weekend, but still a lot of players to talk about. Any grand view thoughts to get off your chest on, you know, I do think it's interesting, you know, we're just like dealing with a lesser pool because we still have bye weeks too, in addition to obviously a bunch of teams got taken off the board because of the Thursday games.
These are actually my favorite slates. So just from a macro point of view on weeks like this, I think in one, we're going to see probably relatively flat roster rates with the Thanksgiving slate. I haven't completely ran through those yet, but we don't have any team with an implied point total of at least 28. We don't have any team favored by 7 or more points. So we have a lot of games that really could go either way. We also have a lot of road favorites. So I think we're going to see on this short slate probably a little bit more variance than we're used to, at least from the perspective of maybe the biggest favorites not being the biggest winners, and maybe the teams with the highest implied point totals not actually being the highest scoring teams. What that means is we can just be a little more contrarian, go with our reads, and it makes it a really good week to not lean into the chalk.
Yeah, I love that. I was looking at like just the implied totals for the week, and it's like, okay, well, we've got Dallas number one. They play on Thursday. Yep. All right, we've got the Bucks. That makes sense. And it's like, oh, the 49ers and then the Bills. Again, that's another Thursday one. And the freaking Patriots are the fifth highest implied team total. And we'll talk about them later on in the show. But it's an interesting week, that's for sure. Well, let's waste no more time. Let's just jump right into it. Let's kick it off with quarterbacks here. Give me your more expensive pick.
Yeah, we have Joe Burrow at $29. And when we compare, again, the slate, we have Brady all the way up at $41. And he obviously can pay that off. But because he doesn't run, he probably needs like 4 touchdowns to pay that off in a tournament setting. And then you have Jalen Hurts way up at $34, which he's been one of the safer plays still, especially with them, you know, using him to run even more in recent weeks. But Joe Burrow down at $29 is such a big discount on those guys in a week, again, where a 25 implied point total is relatively high. The Bengals were a team that a lot of people wanted to target last week and what people thought was going to be a shootout against the Raiders, and it didn't play out that way. So he's going to get a chance to redeem himself in a really good matchup against a Pittsburgh team that's 28th in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position. The Bengals still throwing it at a top 10 rate in neutral situations over the last 6 weeks, and teams are throwing against the Steelers at a top 10 rate in neutral situations as well this year. I think a lot of maybe casual observers might look at Pittsburgh's raw numbers against quarterbacks and not see anything that stands out, but that's why we like to look at the schedule adjusted numbers. I mean, if we look at the period of time between when Pittsburgh last faced Joe Burrow, the next week they faced Aaron Rodgers and gave up 24 Yahoo points. After that, they had a stretch against Teddy Bridgewater, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, Justin Fields, Jared Goff. They played nobody. And then Justin Herbert comes back last week and drops 35 piece on him. So like, they haven't been tested. The few times they have, they've really gotten smoked. Aaron Rodgers and Herbert had great games against them. You could even argue that before the Bears bye, that Justin Fields' best passing game as a pro came against the Steelers defense. So I really like Burrow in this spot. I think the Bengals are really in for a bounce back, just for some general regression, however you want to frame it. Burrow has just 1 touchdown in his last 2 games after having multiple touchdowns in every game for the first 9 or 10 weeks of the season. So I really like the Bengals to get that passing game back on track this week against the Steelers.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. It's like exactly what you talked about off the top, which is like you can lean into being more contrarian and like push away from chalky plays, because I can't imagine that Burrow is going to be a very popular guy, especially because like in that passing game right now, I know like T. Higgins continues to have some decent signal and stuff like that around him, but it's just not really happening for anybody beyond Jamar Chase there, you know? So I think like he won't be an easy guy to like, cause Jamar Chase is still a very high salary player on Yahoo right now. So there'll be a tough guy to stack with. Therefore, I think you could get him at rather low roster numbers.
Yeah, and even Jamar, if we look at something like 4-for-4's breakout model, he's really underperformed since the game before their bye. He actually leads all wide receivers in expected points over his last three games, but obviously with Burrow only throwing one touchdown in that span, he hasn't had those big plays that he relied on for the first 9 weeks of the season. So I think all of the pass catchers that are tied to Burrow, and we'll talk about one of them later on, are very viable this week, regardless of salary.
Yeah, and like our monster, rushing plus passing efficiency guys are basically not on this slate, other than Jalen Hurts, who like you could argue is not really in the same tier of guys like Josh Allen, Kyler Murray. Obviously, I think Murray will be back after their bye. Mahomes and Lamar Jackson not on this slate either. So
Hurts stopped throwing.
Yes, he stopped throwing, which has been better for the offense, but not as great for obviously his fantasy ceiling. But I mean, yeah, you're looking at it, it's like, dude, we're for these top quarterbacks, like the top 10, we're kind of throwing it back to like, 2015 or something. These are like all high flying passing efficiency guys. I think Burrow, who does have some of that positive regression potentially coming his way, could be like a sneaky play there. The one guy who might be able to kind of spit in the face of this whole non-passing, situation going on here is maybe Cam Newton at $30. I think Cam going against a defense in Miami that they've been a little more malleable this year, but they're more of a man coverage heavy defense. You know, we typically know that mobile quarterbacks can get rolling. Cam is still a great rusher. The passing efficiency from a deep ball perspective wasn't there last week, but high completion percentage from Cam. McCaffrey's just a cheat code. I think, DJ Moore has like a 43% share of the team air yards since week 8. I think he's due for, a high, he scores last week for the first time since week 4, but he's kind of got some high yardage games, I think, in his range of outcomes as well. I think if you are looking for a dual threat quarterback, getting the $5 discount from Hurts to Cam Newton is very tempting.
Yeah, and I don't think even with like his, I don't think he's going to end up being efficient on deep balls. I don't think they're going to ask him to throw deep balls with his legs, with CMC there. They can be a lot more methodical on offense. They can move the ball down the field, and we might see DJ Moore. We might see lower average depth of targets from here on out for him because of that. But I think they're passing equity just together, him and Cam, I think they can maintain some upside just because I think we can see a lot of what we saw last week, them moving the ball down the field. And when Cam does look to somebody in the red zone, it will be DJ Moore.
Yeah, I think they have really good chemistry still. You could see that when watching the game, which is important. Cam is not some rando backup off the street. Like, this is a guy who's played with DJ Moore, played with Christian McCaffrey in years prior. So I think that does matter. All right, let's talk bottom tier quarterbacks here. Tyrod Taylor against the hideous New York Jets defense. That's somebody you're looking to this week.
Yeah, just going all the way down to the quarterback salary in arguably the best matchup, at least from a comprehensive offensive perspective. The Jets are last in overall adjusted fantasy points allowed to opposing offenses. On 4-for-4, they're the only team that we rank outside the top 20 against every single skill position. That includes 29. Yeah, it includes 29th against quarterbacks. And they are tied with Pittsburgh for the ninth highest passing rate against in neutral game script. We saw Tyrod Taylor last week. He got two rushing touchdowns, and obviously those touchdowns could seem fluky, but in his four games this year, he's averaging 27 yards per game on the ground. So he has that 40 to 50 yard rushing upside, where even if he doesn't get in the end zone with his legs, 40 yards on the ground is the same as a passing touchdown in terms of fantasy points. So that is extremely valuable no matter who you're playing against. And obviously he's going to get a little bit of a passing projection bump against this defense. Not to mention, after not that like Philip Lindsay was blowing the doors off of the season, but they're down to Rex Burkhead and David Johnson as their running backs. Like, I think it's gonna go through Tyrod, and I'm pretty sure it's going through Tyrod against the Jets, right?
And David Johnson's like still not a fantasy option, which is incredible. Yeah, I mean, Rex Burkhead, what are we doing? This Texas backfield.
I don't see how it's not all Tyrod and Brandon Cooks in this one.
Yeah, I agree. The Jets are 32nd in dropback EPA allowed. Like, it's just been a tough look for that defense. And Tyrod's been good basically all year outside of that Dolphins game, which was his first one back off IR. So we'll see there.
Yeah. Look, and doesn't this feel like the team that like they're going to rally around their coach and ruin the front office's plans to get the first pick and completely tank? Like, this is a team that ruins the tank job, right?
I love that you seem to be implying that this team has a plan. I think that's,
okay,
that's,
fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's fair I enough. Think that's an interesting.
I guess that's kind of the same point.
Yeah, I mean, just about. Who knows what the hell is going on there? Maybe somebody can get Jack Easterby on the blower, and he can let you know what the plan is there. Culture guy, big culture guy. All right, 49ers, interesting to me. I mentioned their third highest implied team total this week. Jimmy G at 25, I think, is really interesting. The 49ers are third in weighted offensive DVOA right now, which obviously, of course, gives more preference to the most recent performances. This team has been really good on offense. I mean, it helps to have all your boys back out there. You know, you got Ayuk playing a full snap rate for four straight games. Like, that situation's good. George Kittle is back in action, scoring touchdowns. Debo's like a cheat code. He just does everything for them. So this offense looks great right now. And I still have a lot of questions about their defense, though, which leads me to think this game could actually be more like, let's put it this way. We haven't seen the 49ers offense have to open it up yet. They've been efficient right on low volume. I kind of think they'll have to open things up against the Vikings offense that's getting like peak performances from Justin Jefferson. We know that their offense is really good. Their defense still has a lot of holes there on the other side with Minnesota. There's holes on the San Francisco defense. I kind of think this game could be somewhat of a sneaky shootout for fantasy. And we know the good part is, if that's the case, we know for both of these teams like exactly where the football goes.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was on here that we talked about Minnesota last week, but they are the type of team that pushes other teams. Their success correlates very highly with the other offense's success. And we saw that last week with them against Green Bay. I kind of highlighted Jimmy G last week on my Twitter feed to very little fanfare, just about him having one of the easier schedules down the stretch.
Dude, cake schedule. And, cake schedule.
Cake schedule down the stretch. And I think that's important for DFS, because even though 49ers dropped 30 last week against the Jaguars, the points were very spread out. You didn't see anybody explode from a fantasy perspective. So we're not going to see that carry over to high roster rates this week. I think over the next couple of weeks, they could be a team that suddenly becomes very popular in game stacks. We haven't really seen this foursome together with Jimmy G, Ayuk, Debo, and Kittle really since last year, because Ayuk started the season
almost
in the doghouse,
ever.
And then Kittle,
almost
and, yeah, and then
honestly,
Kittle gets hurt. Yeah,
like the last year, Ayuk wasn't really playing until the end of the year. Like, he had been hurt. He was on the COVID list for a little too. We know that those guys, Debo and Kittle, were especially Debo was banged up last year. Like, I think Shanahan actually made the point this week that this is like really the first time we've seen all these guys out there together.
Yeah, I think it was the last year they had an explosion against the Saints, I believe. And I think that might have been one of the few games they were all together. I could be wrong. But the point is, like, as much as I've needled you about Ayuk on this podcast, having all three of these guys on the field together, I think is very important. And I think it's going to give Jimmy G like very underrated upside for the rest of the season. And I think they're going to stick with Jimmy G. And I think they could like make a playoff push with this team.
Listeners of this podcast, at least from the Yahoo feed, like, are probably getting flashbacks to the summer with me talking too much about the 49ers here. But this is I kind of feel like that Kyle Shanahan had like a Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes plan here between these two guys. And, you know, you could talk about how that's like you're playing with fire when you're, you know, normally you don't pull that off. But then you start the year with like Kittle hurt, you start the year with Ayuk in the doghouse, and it's like, well, now Jimmy G's out there playing cookie cutter football with Debo Samuel and a bunch of goofballs, and that didn't go so well. Then he gets hurt, but this is, I think, kind of the vision of what the team was. I'm like, we don't need to throw Trey Lance out there, who clearly is like not ready to play in any sense. Absolutely. So I still think they could get a playoff run out of Jimmy G here, and then flip him for picks next year. He becomes someone else's problem or minor solution. I don't want to be too disrespectful here. And then you see what the Trey Lance era brings. So it will be interesting to track the 49ers. But like I said, listen.
I hope you like Cleveland, Jimmy.
Well, he's going back to almost to Illinois. Close enough, right? All right, let's move on to running backs here. Let's talk Najee Harris at 31.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a couple of guys that I have high priced at multiple positions that just aren't. Their salary just isn't anywhere close to reflective of their usage lately. Najee all the way down at 31. I mean, you could make the argument that he should be priced up in the CMC range at this point. His touch shares throughout the season and over the last few weeks compared to the rest of the league is just unmatched. He has 90% of the Steelers' backfield touches over the last 6 weeks. No other running back is even at 80% share, 26.2 touches in that span per game in that span. That's a number that leads the league by a pretty wide margin. Cincinnati is 25th in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to the position. Najee's targets are down a little bit over the last few weeks, but we know he's very capable of being used in that part of the game. And then one thing that I have really harped on in half PPR DFS leagues like Yahoo is the potential for passing game correlations with the opposing running back. And this is one of the perfect ones where you could pair Najee with Jamar, T. Higgins, or even in a Joe Burrow stack. That's two ways to get a lot of the points in this game.
Yeah, I like that. I like that call a lot. My one advice for like rostering Najee Harris in DFS, and this is just from like your own personal well-being sense, don't watch the game. Like, especially yeah. As somebody that, like, you know, I do the props for our Yahoo Sportsbook live show. Great record, by the way, on my props this year. But the Najee props always fail because it's just like, it's just such a slog. It's just such a slog. Like,
yeah.
I wish there were props for percentage of team backfield touches. I'd take the over for Najee on that every week.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers are a tough watch in general. They combined for, 70-something points last week, and it still felt like it was rough to watch.
Yeah, that was like Big Ben's best game of the year, and they were down like 20 points. It's unbelievable. Right. One guy I want to talk about this week is A.J. Dillon at $21. You know, we talked about A.J. Dillon last week. We know I love this player, and, you know, it was pretty disappointing effort overall. Like, I think about 12 Yahoo points. So not ideal for what you wanted, but I think that's just great. It means the price didn't go up this week. You can go right back to him. And the usage was outstanding for A.J. Dillon. 73% of the backfield carries, 18% target share for A.J. Dillon that game last week. Like, again, if we're going to get another start out of him with Aaron Jones out, and I think actually if he kind of has like some post-hype sleeper appeal here or like a little bit of a bounce back there, maybe that drives his roster rate down. And, you know, it was a sexier matchup, I guess, against the Vikings last week, but the Rams, you could run on them. And I kind of feel like this game could turn into a little bit of boomer ball overall. Like, I think that Rams kind of might want to think about establishing the run over a little bit on the other side of the field. And I think that when you look at the Packers too, like Aaron Rodgers is, you know, showing his foot to like the media or whatever. He's all got some toe thing going on here. I don't know what the deal with that is, but you know, they might want to take the air out of the football on that side too.
Yeah, this game actually, I think, has a very wide range of outcomes, which we'll talk about in a little bit with some of my players in this game. But it's really two teams that obviously could push it through the air, but they also have very capable running backs. And we've also seen the Rams struggle in recent weeks. So I think that it really can be an A.J. Dillon game. And in terms of the post-hype sleeper, I agree that will probably he won't be anywhere near as popular as he was last week, even though I think he's only one more dollar, maybe the same price or something like that. It's not like he didn't get the usage. It's not like he wasn't the main back. Like, he just didn't get in the end zone. And that happens sometimes. That's why fantasy football can be difficult, especially DFS, but the usage was completely there. So I think he's a fantastic play at 21. Actually, 4-for-4's top running back value this week.
Ooh, juicy. Love to see it. All right, let's talk Javonte Williams at 20. This was an interesting one. Obviously, matchup with the Chargers, we know that, but why else do you like Williams this week?
Yeah, this one's a little bit more off the board than we typically go in this segment. We usually try to stick to the values. But as we mentioned up top, this is a week where I think we can be a little bit more contrarian, even at these predictable positions, especially in large field tournaments like the Yahoo Baller. Before the Broncos bye last week, Javonte saw his highest snap share of the season, and that was after Melvin Gordon fumbled on a fourth down. And then they go into the bye week, have a whole week to think about that, and the coaching staff gives Melvin Gordon the always great vote of confidence.
Oh, boy.
So we have that. We have the Melvin Gordon on the wrong side of the age model. And, I mean, this typically has been something that has applied more to wide receivers, but second half of the season, coming out of the bye, rookie players, this is oftentimes where we see players like this start to pop. And I think it can be a very dangerous game, specifically in DFS, to bet on talent, which might sound crazy to people that play a lot of fantasy, but really, as our game sample gets smaller, DFS is one game, I think we're looking more for usage. The only time I veer away from that is in these situations where we're trying to hit on these players before they pop, right? We want to get Javonte now, because once he has an 80% touch share game, scores twice, it's over. Everyone's going to be playing him.
Yeah.
He's going to be high salary. So we want to jump on that before it happens. And we have a couple, like read a couple tea leaves. It looks like it's trending that way. Coming out of the bye gives us a week to like kind of forget about that late game fumble from Melvin. And then just from a matchup perspective, teams running at the highest rate in neutral situations against the Chargers. They're the ultimate run funnel, 20th against running backs when adjusted for strength of schedule, top seven against quarterbacks and wide receivers. And just back to that Javonte talent, no matter how you chop it up, he's pretty much leading the league and whatever elusive rating, yards after contact, broken, missed tackles, however you chop it up, he is just blowing the league away in those metrics. Now, as the workload grows, those numbers probably regress, but the point is, he's just a very good player.
Yeah, no question about that. You mentioned it. He's up there with the likes of, you know, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor in breakaway run percentage and runs of 10 plus yards. He's up there. You know, he's been explosive. It's just, and look, even if the role doesn't flip, like you don't get a Javonte Williams, it's still the right matchup where he can at least rip a couple of those big plays and at least like not destroy your lineup or something like that. But you're right. It's aggressive to do it before it happens, but that is how you sometimes have to make like winning decisions, is to be aggressive, be ahead of the curve and tell yourself that story. And I think it is a compelling one that you tell about, you know, maybe this is where the flip happens after the bye week, everything like that.
Yeah, and you don't, it's not even a situation where you're getting him at $20. The Chargers are so bad against the run. The Broncos use their backfield so much. You don't need him to have the 80% backfield share. If he gets 65% just in one game, you might be getting there. Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking there like, yeah, that's what you're after. Yeah. By the way, Jonathan Taylor, you mentioned it, 3.76 yards after contact per attempt, 3.67. for Javonte Williams. So right in that same territory, that will be a fun player to watch going forward. I have not had the most fun in my life watching Miles Sanders, but I do think he's a very interesting play at $17. Gets 16 carries for over 90 yards in his first game off IR. It looks like we're not going to get Jordan Howard, so that just keeps this potential committee a little slimmer here. Miles Sanders, I think, is a really good play in the most run-heavy offense in the NFL over the last month. Don't really care about the Giants matchup. You're not going to get a lot of receiving juice out of Miles Sanders, but I don't think you're going to get that with any of these Philly backs. So, yeah, I do really like him at a discount here, $17.
I have some more to say about this game later on in favor of the Eagles. I mean, Miles Sanders, his salary makes him very attractive. They kind of, Nick Sirianni said that even with that, what was it, 16, 17 touches last week, they actually benched Miles Sanders a couple times. There was a play where he went out of bounds where they're trying to run the clock and they took him out for Jordan Howard.
Yeah,
so it was kind of like a coming back, try to teach him a lesson, I guess. And the tone was kind of, if he doesn't do those things, he's getting all of the work. And not that they necessarily care about getting Jordan Howard in, but it was more of a slap on the wrist to Miles Sanders. So I think even if Jordan Howard was playing, that Sanders would be in line for closer to like a 75% backfield touch share. Now, with looking like we're not going to have Jordan Howard, I think it is. I think it's a huge share of the rushing work. Obviously, when we say rushing work, Jalen's going to take a lot of it, but from a backfield works specifically to the running backs, should be mostly Miles Sanders.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's talk wide receivers. You mentioned that you think this Rams-Packers game could go a couple of different directions here, so that obviously is leading you towards Davante Adams at 31.
Yeah, the Packers defense had been playing good up until last week, but what we saw, which is a reason I was excited about that game last week, is Minnesota is the type of team that can push Green Bay, that can make Green Bay play a little faster than they want to. And the Rams are very similar in that respect. Obviously, they're down Robert Woods, but they still have Cooper Kupp. They still have Matthew Stafford. They have a great running game. Maybe Odell can be some percentage of what Robert Woods, you know, he can offer some kind of threat. They got Higbee. They got Van Jefferson. They have an offense that can really push the Packers. The thing about Davante wasn't even matchup based at first. he's at he went for 115 and two last week, one of his best games, if not the best game of the season. And then after that, Yahoo drops his salary to the lowest of the season. Somehow his price is all the way down. He's been as high as $38 this season. So if we just look at, obviously we know the usage Devontae's going to get, but then the algorithm says, yeah, we're just going to make him the cheapest he's been all year. So and just on that alone, I think you click on him. But then if we look at the matchup a little deeper, the Rams are 23rd in schedule adjusted points allowed to wide receivers. They've actually allowed number ones to have great games against them. Debo, 20.5 PPR points. DK, 24. Brandon Cook, 17. Godwin and Evans both go over 15. Michael Pittman, 16. So the primary target has done fantastic against the Rams. Obviously, Devontae can outscore all those guys in the right situation.
Yeah, that's because they play, you know, they play Jalen Ramsey on the inside, like to be more involved in like the actual in the box and everything. Like he's more involved in more plays than just having him sticking out there on the outside cornerback spot. But yeah, no, I think that's a great point. Interesting, by the way, I'm just looking at his past salaries. His highest salary of the week or of the year, 38, came in Jordan Love's lone start. So obviously they didn't know that was going to happen. They didn't know that was going to happen, but yeah, it's just pretty funny that that's how it worked out.
That is good.
Talked about that Bengals Steelers game earlier. I think Deontay Johnson is like inappropriately priced at $23. He has 11.3 targets per game over the last four weeks. He's fifth in the NFL in that span. Like no matter what happens in the freaking Steelers passing game, you know, Juju's out, Chase Claypool's in, Chase Claypool's out. You know, friggin' Mason Rudolph is playing. Deontay Johnson gets elite usage. I love that, like, the SNF crew highlighted, like, the, you know, improvements he's made in his game over the last, like, year. And I love that he, like, stamped that with an awesome drive. That was great to see. Love that the drop haters and the yards per target haters continue to take a massive L on this player. And I also happen to like him in Week 12 DFS.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this game quite a bit already and the potential for a lot of scoring on both sides. I mean, $23 for a player that is basically a 30% target share guy is seeing the same or even more volume than Devontae Adams for basically two-thirds of the salary. I don't think there's even much to think about with playing Deontay this week.
Yeah, no, I think it's a pretty easy conversation. The guys he's around, too, you know, I like some of these players. You know, he's right there in that Michael Pittman range, Elijah Moore, Mike Williams, DJ Moore. I think he stands out in the kind of the where he's at in the salary tier there this week. All right, you mentioned Tyrod earlier. Obviously, Brandon Cooks, like at 13, despite the fact he hadn't done too much lately, it does seem like quite a smash against this Jets pass defense.
Yeah, I mean, he is 4-for-4's top value at wide receiver all the way down at 13. The only thing there really is to say that from a volume perspective, you have to think that week 11 was the aberration. We have a 10-game sample of him being the primary target for the Texans, no matter who has been at quarterback. And in fact, before last week, he was actually averaging three more targets and 3.5 PPR points per game in his three games with Tyrod. We've already talked about all of the passing metrics in favor of the Texans against the Jets. Just one more to put a stamp on it for Brandon Cooks being able to be a quick strike guy against them. The Jets allow the sixth highest QBR on passes of 20 or more air yards. So we know that Cooks can get over the top of some defenses. This is a really good spot to do it against a Jets defense that has been really weak in that respect.
Oh yeah, I love it. I mean, $13 is just such an attractive salary for a guy who most times this year has been, you know, like from a volume perspective, extremely, extremely good. So yeah, I love that call. We talked about this game as well for my second wide receiver pick already, so we can keep it kind of short. But Brandon Ayuk, I think, is again inappropriately priced at $17. He has a 31.8% target share last week, leads the team in receiving, leads the team in catches, targets. Like, it was basically, if you look at the box score, all Brandon Ayuk. Obviously, Debo Samuel's doing his thing in the backfield. Again, he is like such a cheat code, despite the one catch. But, you know, Ayuk is back in full, like, where I think however you were viewing him in the preseason, obviously I was on the very optimistic end of that, but, like, most everybody had him between, like, wide receiver 20 and wide receiver 30. I think that's basically how you're looking at him every single week going forward. This is a good matchup, as we mentioned earlier. The Vikings are 27th in EPA allowed per dropback since week 8. It's just not a good defense, I don't think. And I think this game could be interesting from a fantasy angle. And Ayuk at $17 does feel like a good way to save some salary.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I mean, that can we can jump right into my tight end pick because we're staying in that same game with George Kittle at 24. So rather than commenting on how much I like Ayuk, it'll just put a emphasis on how much we like this passing game.
We like this passing game.
Kittleson's coming back from injury. Targets at 21%, 37%, 21%. Our friend Lord Reeves tweeted out this morning, after converting 3 of 23 end zone targets over his career prior to the past three games, Kittle has cashed in on all three of his end zone targets for scores in his past three games. Basically, he's finally scoring touchdowns, guys. His career high in one season, I think, is 5. I think he might double that down the stretch this year. Obviously, that's exaggerating a little bit, but he's always shown that upside. And this, we talked about how much we think this Niners pass game can go on a little bit of a tear starting with this week, to the point that Reeves made about Kittle's usage near and inside the end zone. Teams are throwing at the highest rate inside the 10 against the Vikings. 64% of plays in that scoring area have been passes against the Vikings this year.
Yeah, you know, and Kittle is $24. He's the highest salary tight end this week, but you know, Travis Kelce's up there like 30 sometimes, and I feel like Kittle has just as good of an outlook right now as Travis Kelce has at different times this year, so it makes a ton of sense. I'll go old man here with Gronk at 22. Looked pretty good in his return, got some good volume, and you know, when we're looking at that implied point total that we mentioned, you know, there's, it's pretty light, but the Bucks are number two, and I feel like he's a decent way to get into some of that potential touchdown equity.
Yeah, number one on the main slate with that 27.75 point implied point total. We didn't see it last week because the Bills had arguably their worst game of the season, even though they had a debacle against the Jags. But the Colts are one of the worst passing defenses in the league, and we saw the angry Brady narrative last week, or you know, this week on Monday night, and I think that carries over after they had their stretch of whatever 29 days without a win or something. This is a spot for Tampa to keep it rolling after that Monday night game.
Yeah, he'll still be feeling angry. Don't worry. The angry meter is still pretty high for Tom Brady. Speaking of Tom Brady, his former team, the New England Patriots, you've got Hunter Henry at 17. I got a lot of thoughts about the Patriots offense a little bit later, but we could talk about that. Just tell us why Hunter Henry is a good play.
I mean, on Yahoo, we're always chasing touchdowns, and Hunter Henry is the modern day Chris Carter. All he does is catch touchdowns. The Patriots have the third highest implied point total on the slate. They are the biggest favorites on the slate. It's really going to be hard to chase the game flow with anybody on this team, just because target shares are a little bit diluted. Their pass to run ratio is relatively balanced. Their running back situation is a little murky. So why not go with the position that is often the highest to target, a position that does benefit from positive game flow with tight end? And again, with Henry, we're really chasing touchdowns. We saw it a couple weeks ago when they got in that extremely good game script against the Browns. Henry was probably the player that benefited the most, and I think it sets up well against a Tennessee defense that does struggle against the passing game.
Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. It's, you know, there's not a lot of good tight end plays on the board this week. Like,
no, all of them are off the main slate.
All of them are off the main slate. And like, normally I can find somebody, you know, sub 15, and like, you know, maybe you go back to what Dan Arnold is 16. Maybe you go to Dan Arnold there after he puts up a straight zero spot last week. I don't hate it, but you know, CJ Uzoma is like such a low volume player there. There's not a lot of like clear cut, oh man, good value tight ends. So we're just kind of sticking with the guys who brought us. And Dallas Goedert, I think, is one of those guys at $16, you know. We mentioned the Eagles are so run heavy. They're the most run heavy team since week 8. But in that same span, Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith have combined for 61% of the team's passing targets. TJ, yeah. Jalen Reagor, your guy Jalen Reagor. Let me give you a horrific stat on Jalen Reagor. Are you ready?
Please. I'm probably not, but I'll listen.
He has more games with negative receiving yards this year than over 50 yards this year.
That seems impossible.
But I hear you clicking over there as if you're fact checking me. I'm telling you.
No, it's
true.
I very much believe you. I was more looking up to I couldn't remember if Quez Watkins saw one or zero targets last week. I was going to try to emphasize your point because I thought maybe he could have a game with Marshawn Lattimore on Devontae Smith. And that obviously didn't happen. It's all Devontae and Goddard in this offense.
Yeah, and I think that's enough, even though they're very run heavy, to be like, you know, aggressive still playing Smith. Not as much Smith, but definitely Goddard, just given the depth at the position for tight end versus the depth of wide receiver plays. I still think Goddard makes a great play. You know, if they have to open things up, I don't know if they're gonna have to open things up against the Giants, but still, no. I think you're able to chase the volume there for Dallas Goddard.
And we did talk about at the beginning of the show, no huge favorites, no huge implied point totals. There's a lot of teams that could surprise and be the highest scoring team on the slate. I think against this Giants team, just because of how bad they look on both sides, I think Philly can be that surprise team to get the blowout this week.
I mean, we got Freddie Kitchens calling plays for the Giants. Maybe. Joe Judge won't tell us. You know, very secretive, big brain mastermind Joe Judge not going to give the secrets out, but it sounds like Freddie Kitchens is the play caller. So I'm sure things will go very well for New York in that endeavor. TJ, for defenses this week, we've got two just straight up bad clunker defenses as our picks here, but going against some bad offenses. So tell us about the Chargers at the stone minimum.
Yeah, again, I talked about I like Javonte as a play, but if you aren't on him or aren't on the Broncos, which you don't have to be for a lot of good reasons, you know, the Chargers are favored by 2.5 and in a week where, again, we don't have a lot of very big spreads. Basically, you're just getting a favorite at minimum salary with an elite pass rush. And even though the Broncos don't throw a ton, they are middle of the pack in neutral passing rate. So the Chargers should have some opportunities to get after Teddy. And with Bosa there, they're just a different team. Even though they gave up a lot of points down the stretch last week, they're still a team that has an elite pass rush.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense there. You're just looking for sacks and turnovers, and I think you could get a couple of them there. Garrett Bowles, I think, tested positive for COVID at one point this week. I don't know if he'll play or not, but that's just something to monitor as well. The Broncos left tackle there. I think you could grit your teeth to play the Falcons this week at $13. Falcons defense stinks. Somehow the Jags, I mean, they're 1-point favorite. They're 1-point home favorites, but they are favorites in this game. But still, I mean, good God, dude. The Jags don't have any good players. I mean, Jamal Agnew goes down and it's like, who's their big play threat now on offense? Which is, that's disgusting. You shouldn't have to ask yourself that question with freaking Jamal Agnew going down. You know, it's just a nightmare there in Jacksonville. I don't think things are going to get better for them the rest of this year. You know, again, we're just betting on sacks and turnovers. The Falcons are a bad defense, but I think they could get a couple off Trevor Lawrence in this one.
Yeah, and when we're talking about the Niners, we mentioned that we do think they have some holes on defense, and I very much agree. And this Jags team, would they drop three on them? Did they end up with three? Is that how much they scored against San Francisco?
I don't know.
So I think that tells you what you need to know about the Jags offense right now.
I think James Robinson get in a garbage time touchdown?
Oh, he did get in late. Yeah. He did get in late. Yeah.
Thank God. So I played him.
They cracked that huge double digit mark in the NFL. Hard to do.
Oh God. I feel bad for Trevor Lawrence, man. I really do. It's like,
yeah.
This is why if you really want to have a brain buster discussion, it's like, is being the number one pick actually bad? Maybe.
That's a whole nother podcast series we could do. That'll be a great offseason pod.
Yeah. But for now, TJ, enlighten the people why you want to play T. Higgins, who hasn't done anything in 100 years.
I mean, that... That sentiment is exactly why I want to play them. I highlighted the reasons that I like Cincinnati's passing game. This is just a classic post-hype sleeper type play. Higgins was one of the most popular plays in DFS last week. He absolutely busts. The usage has been there for multiple weeks, and people get worn out very quick, especially in the DFS space when they hear the usage is there. Yeah. He's going to break out. And, you know, we usually see it happen after 3 or 4 weeks, but sometimes it takes longer than that because variance is a very real thing, and it's very hard to score a lot of fantasy points, especially when you are playing alongside somebody like Jamar Chase, when you have a running back in Joe Mixon that's very good, when Tyler Boyd is a viable third option. You're going to have some really long stretches of not being productive. So Higgins is all the way down at 16, still over the past 6 weeks around that like 24% target share, and people are just going to look at it, see how cheap he is. Even if they have subscriptions with lineup generators, they're going to just ignore the fact that he's near the top of the value report because of how much he's been burning people. And these are the types of plays that we're looking for in DFS.
And it's not like T. Higgins sucks, right? You know, he's like, think he's a pretty good number two receiver, at least I do. And, you know, it's just the Bengals offense has been hard to predict. And they've been, even when they're throwing the ball a lot, they've been slow. They're 31st in pace of play so far this year. So I think it all does look good from a signal perspective. And I'm joking with you here about like, he hasn't done anything for 100 years, even though he hasn't. But like, I think I talked about him last week. So like, I am the sentiment of the public here.
No, I think he's been like a double digit roster rate guy, maybe like four of his last five games. And I mean, just the psychological, like, it's very easy to get worn down when you're like, when you're putting real money on a new lineup each week in DFS, it's very difficult to say, I'm playing this guy for a fourth time. Like, that's just hard for people to do. And I understand it, but everybody's kind of feeling the same way. And we want to be zigging when people are zagging.
Exactly. No, it makes a ton of sense. For my flex play, I am going with Keenan Allen here at $24. Target totals of 11, 13, 11, and 13 over his last four games. Has scored just once in that span, so he hasn't really had like kind of an eruption game. I feel like it could happen against this Broncos team that's been very hit or miss as a pass defense, and you know, just rock solid play. I think who's a little lower price than he could have been because he hasn't scored a touchdown since October 31st against the Patriots.
Yeah, RIP, officially RIP Mike Williams. I think I officially knocked him outside of the top 24 in rest of season rankings and was very tempted to put him outside the top 36. But
All right. That's a little disrespectful. That's a little disrespectful, but I get it, dude. He's been like super frustrating. And I mean,
yeah,
he just can't, you fell a little hook, line and sinker for that for those first 4 weeks, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted it to be real.
I have him at wide receiver 24 in rest of season rankings, if that makes you feel any better.
So I purposely put him outside 24 just because I know people like that. I know people like that cutoff, so I went out of my way to make sure he was lower than that.
I'm sure when Mike Williams hears this, he's going to be so upset. He's going to be so slighted. A lot of folks probably slighted by being waiting. What a terrible transition. But anyways, what I'm trying to say here is, but I'm sure people are not a fan of what they got out of Saquon Barkley when they waited so long for that, but you're fading him here, and I think it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I mean, he is actually fairly priced where I do think people will want to play him in a matchup against the Eagles defense that has been pretty bad against running backs, but this team just in general, you already mentioned that, you know, I guess it's going to be Kitchens. I don't even know if that's a upgrade or a downgrade from Jason Garrett, but it's a change in the middle of the season, which probably doesn't signal great things for the offense. Their offensive line has the third lowest adjusted line yards on running plays per Football Outsiders. I've talked about this game a couple of times, like just their offensive line is really bad. Their offense is bad. I think it could be a game where Philadelphia can get ahead and really just control the game. We mentioned that they've shifted to a very run-heavy team. They're running at the highest rate in neutral game script over the last 6 weeks. Teams are averaging the sixth longest possession per drive against the Giants. So I think this could be a situation where Philly has the ball for like 40-plus minutes in this game. And if that's the case, not only is Saquon just in a bad situation, but there just isn't going to be opportunity for New York to have the ball or have scoring opportunities. So I think this game could really get out of hand. And even if it doesn't get out of hand, Philly just controlling it the whole way.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I couldn't find a good reason to want to play Saquon right now in DFS. Yeah. I mean, if you got him in season long, you got to play him. But, you know, in daily fantasy, I don't think so. Patriots running backs, I put them as a fade, like maybe, sort of, because I mean, you just, this split is drastic. You look at Ramondre Stevens, by the way, they're the exact same salary. They're both $19. Last week, Ramondre Stevenson gets 12 carries for 69 yards, one target in the passing game. Damian Harris, who, like, you know, I think just got right back on track, he gets 10 carries, one target in the passing game. Brandon Bolden is not going to give up his, like, third down role. But, like, part of me looks at this and I'm like, how do the Patriots not take the Titans to the woodshed in this game? Like, the Titans have no players anymore. They've got Ryan Tannehill and the preseason boys out there if AJ Brown has to sit. How is Bill Belichick not going to go out there and, like, throttle this team, right? So part of me thinks, oh, yeah. I mean, run heavy game script. This is one of the most, like, in terms of fantasy points allocated to, like, a percentage. It's, like, going all to the running backs there. But still, I can't squeeze them in at $19. There's just too many good, attractive players around them.
Yeah, I think that's kind. Your reasoning is kind of the reason why I went with Hunter Henry, because we're outside of Hunter. We're really just throwing darts. Like, we don't know who's going to score the touchdowns for their backfield. Their wide receivers is as much of a coin flip as their running backs. Hunter Henry's kind of the only constant. So it's a really similar situation to what we had with the Browns last week, where the Browns had this really high implied point total, but you just can't really play any of the guys. Like, even Jarvis gets a rushing touchdown, isn't in anything of, like, close to winning lineups last week. And the Patriots are kind of the same this week. Like, I just don't know how you stack them. I mean, you can flip a coin with the running backs, I suppose, and hope that you get the touchdown variance, but I think the only way I'm doing that is if I'm max entering playing 150 lineups in the baller. Maybe I'll play two or three running back Patriots running backs lineups, but it just doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, you don't get that touchdown, you're looking at, like, maybe 70 yards with no passing equity touched on top of it, and that's just going to be pretty tough, especially at 19. Like, if these guys were 15-14, something like that, I think you could take the risk. But, you know, you're in the same range as, like, Leonard Fournette is $19, Javonte Williams 20, AJ Dillon 21. You know, even going down a little bit, I think you can look at some guys that are, you know, Miles Sanders at 17, Jeff Wilson or Eli Mitchell, depending on which one of them is starting, is I think a better attractive play in that same range. Absolutely. So yeah, forget about it. All right, TJ, that is going to do it for us. If people found this via the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast feed, tell them all about DFS MVP.
DFS MVP, every Sunday morning we do a last look show on our subscriber only Discord. That is 11 a.m. Eastern time every Sunday. Every Friday on YouTube at 6 p.m. Eastern time, we do a comprehensive overview of the DFS week. And every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific time on our YouTube channel, a cash game review from our lineups from the previous week.
Beautiful. And if you found this via the DFS MVP feed, give a subscribe to Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. It's a nice little podcast over there. I'm on two shows a week, not including this one. I'll be on again Sunday night with the Week 12 recap with Liz Loza, so make sure you check that out. Meanwhile, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @MattHarmon_BYB. That's at TJ Hernandez. Check us out on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. Happy post-Thanksgiving, whatever the hell you want to call this. See you all next week.